Season countdown continues and we move into the first of our Bellarine clubs. At third place finish, knocked out in the preliminary final last year. They farewelled their coach, Paul Carson, who's headed back up the road to St Joseph's, and a man who's not unfamiliar in local football circles, having coached previously at the Belmont Lions and also at St Albans. Rounds out the league trifecta by taking over at Anglesey. Paul Nigro, good enough to join us on the season countdown. Paul, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
Very well. Did you think of it that way when you were appointed? You've managed to see every league now.
Yeah, I did actually. I suppose going back before moving down to the region, I experienced three different leagues in Melbourne as well, being the Eastern Football League, Northern Football League, and VAFA. So, yeah, I've been around a little bit, a journeyman in coaching, I guess. So, very excited. Another new challenge, and you know, as you said, we bowed out in the prelim final last year, so we've got a little bit of unfinished business to do.
Yep. Talk to us about, I suppose, when they made the approach, Anglesey. You'd been on the coaching staff with Paul Carson last year. I suppose the jungle drums had been beating that if the job at St Joseph's was going to be available, that Paul was probably going to be at the front of the queue, being a great up there. Had you started preparing yourself potentially to take over?
Yeah, look, Paul and I formed a strong relationship in our 12 months working together, and we certainly, you know, helped each other, and yeah, Paul was fairly open with myself and where he was in the process of going through the St Joey's situation. So, we'd talked about it, and Paul was fortunate enough and well done to get the job. And yeah, obviously, our president and subcommittee moved pretty quickly, and we met pretty much 24 hours straight away. And hence, here I am.
What's pre-season been like? You've had some player movement. You've probably lost one of the biggest names in the competition in Dale Carson through retirement, but you bring in Zane Vale. How have you gone about, I suppose, developing the list over summer to again contend?
Yeah, look, you know, Dale, by anyone's who's involved in football in the area, he's pretty much irreplaceable for what he's put out over a number of years. Having secured Zane is someone and an area which we targeted pretty much before the end of the season came, that we were caught short in that area, in the ruck area, obviously. That was a significant signing for us. And Matty O'Dwyer also was a loss. He's gone up bush to play with one of his better mates. So, yeah, those two certainly coming out of the list, but we feel as though we've adequately replaced them as we track forward, and certainly Zane gives us another dimension and gives us different structure through the midfield and frees up one or two of our other players.
And I suppose that in that you speak there of, I'm guessing, Ash Caldwell, who won your best and fairest last year, but also the Ash medalist in Jackson Buse.
Yeah, 100%. Those two did the lion's share of our work in the ruck and mobile ruck, and they were very successful. As you said, one was our best and fairest winner and the Ash medal. So they both had stellar years by their standards, but we think we could even get more out of them in a different role.
Yeah, you talked about probably being found out against the likes of Meeson and McIlwain down the stretch. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think the longer the season went on, and certainly into the finals, those bigger bodies hurt us a little bit, certainly in the second half of those finals as well, particularly. Port Arlington got a big fella in the ruck down there as well.
Kim Jones.
We got him first up. So we were, yeah, very aware of that. And it would have been totally unfair for Ash Caldwell, for instance, to be doing, you know, 75% of that ruck work again. It just wouldn't have been fair. So we went out with a specific aim and a target, and we were fortunate enough to get him. So I think he'll bring a lot to the table for us.
A couple of other recruits you've announced in the last couple of weeks: Joel Donaldson from Northcote Park, Tom Stephen from Lawn. Just add a little bit of depth.
Yeah, look, they've been terrific on the training track. Good size, hard fit bodies, fitted in very well, and we're also very conscious of, while we've targeted those areas, we wanted the right people coming into the mix. Being a tight-knit community, the playing group is strong and committed, and we wanted to make sure that we got the right people in the right holes.
Yep. you finished second after the home and away season, third overall. You had a 12-6 win-loss record. Torquay finished seventh with 9-9. There was only three games between second and seventh, which shows you how tight the comps was last year, but also probably an indication of how tight it's going to be again in 2019, especially with everybody expecting Drysdale to be resurgent.
Spot on. It'll be tighter across the board, absolutely. You hear what's going on, obviously whispers of other clubs, recruiting this player, that player. At this stage, you certainly control your own backyard to the best of your ability without getting too drawn into what's happening out there. But, yeah, you're 100% right, and with all due respect, Port Arlington and Newcombe will improve as well, no doubt. So I don't think any game will be given, and the competition will be extremely even, as you said. Barwon Heads were the standout last year but couldn't get the job done, so I guess they'll be reeling from that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think there'd be much between possibly the top eight. So every game's going to be, the old eight-point games, but there's going to be a lot of them this year, I would have thought.
Do you think Barwon Heads, with what they've recruited and the fact they haven't lost a great deal either, although we got the news last week that Lisa Torrey's going to miss the year with a knee issue, but they've lost minimal and added some class by the looks of it, that right now they're probably the team to beat?
On face value, you would say that, yes. I would agree with that on face value. Sartori it was, wasn't it? Yeah. He was a little bit of a loss for them, but injuries are going to happen to each and every club out there. So, they've certainly got Tim McIntyre on board, who is a pretty handy player, so we're aware of that too. So, yeah, look, on all things being equal, and I think Motawari and ourselves were the only two to get over the top of them during the home and away season, so we're aware of how good they are, and absolutely, they'd probably be the standout right at the minute.
Yep. You talked about Port Arlington round one. It's a challenging first month. I think Motto, Drysdale, Torquay, you're going to get a real indication of where you're at. You could be 4-0, but you could be 0-4 as well.
Yeah, we've spoken about that internally, obviously. We've had a look at that, and we're excited about the first month. Port Arlington are going to come to us all guns blazing. We'll certainly be well prepared. And Motawari out there, round two. We couldn't get the better of them in the two finals, so we need to find an extra 5 or 10% out there. And then the Big Easter clash, Drysdale, and then Torquay. So, as you said, tough month. And it is an important month because I think early wins are important to get on the board, especially as the season wears on. Injuries are going to play a part in some clubs, no doubt. And it's hard to play catch-up footy, so we're well aware of the first month.
Yep. Talk to us about the health of your list. Any injury concerns at this stage, or do you expect everybody to be close to be right come round one?
Probably there's only one player who won't be ready by round one. That'll be Dyson Bell-Warren. He'll be probably 3 or 4 weeks into the season. So other than that, the health, touch wood, they're healthy at the moment. We get through our practice matches unscathed.
Yep.
We've had a very solid pre-season, but also we feel as though we've been smart about it and handled it the right way. So time will tell. The list is healthy. And, the guys get to a stage, like I'm sure it's every club too. Training can become arduous 3 nights a week at this time of year, and that they're ready to play pretty much. It's as soon as the practice matches kick off in a couple of weeks, we'll be ready to go.
Yep. A lot of people thought you'd become a little bit Erskine-focused when Jordan arrived last year. You probably weren't as much. James Edmonds gave you a little bit. Chucky Smith was still giving you a bit, but James is gone. Chucky looks like he probably won't play at 2 o'clock if he does play at all. How do you find other avenues to goal this year?
Yeah, look, Chucky's officially retired. He's helping out with the fitness down at the club, which is great, so he's there a couple of nights a week as well. And certainly, Jimmy gave us some bite around the stoppages and up forward. He'll be missed as well. And, Jordan's Jordan. Jordan's going to attract a crowd wherever he goes. But, we've certainly got a couple of strategies in place to overcome that and to assist Jordan, I guess, to make life a little bit easier for him. And, you'll see there'll be a bit of a different look at different times for us going forward.
Yep. potential for a big shootout come round three against Drysdale. Jared Garth at one end and Jordan Erskine at the other, who have both obviously had success at GFL level, and you know, Jordan coming back last year to the Ballerine and Jared this year. Could be some sort of Easter Saturday afternoon down at Alcoa Oval.
Easter Saturday's obviously a big one. So to get them, we're quite excited about that round three. So hopefully they get off to a good start and we do too, and it might set it up for a really nice clash. And I've obviously coached against both Erskine and Garth previously, so I know they've got hold of the previous club I was at a couple of times, so well aware of their powers to be, but it's nice to have Jordan on my side at this time of year. So. But we're well aware of Garth, and they've got some couple of handy players going through the midfield now, in addition as well. So they'll be a danger wherever they go. And we won't be underestimating anyone, as I said earlier.
Yep. Look to one of your old clubs for a hit out during the practice match in St Albans. But a nice mix of clubs. Werribee District's in the Western Region League, and you've got Rupertswood, I think, who are a VAFA club. So you get a look at different standards of footy, and a nice test against St Albans. I think Ballerine clubs like to play GFL clubs at this time of the year.
Yeah, we do. And that'll be our first hit out, so... Obviously, we probably won't be at full tilt in terms of numbers, but
Got a few cricketers.
Yeah, we've got a couple of cricketers out there. One goes all right for the cricket ball at the moment, Dale Kerr. Yeah, so. Yep.
Took eight for a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
He took eight for this week, eight for 48. So he quickly told me about that last night. But so we'll be short a couple, and I'm sure St Albans will be short a couple too. So you're right. We've deliberately got a mix. I've always tried to steer clear of clubs we're playing against during the home and away season, purely because I don't think the scoreboard's a real indicator for us in that stage. It'll be more about process, structure, how we look with a couple of new looks and that through the midfield and up forward. So certainly come Rupertswood, obviously the last one, like most clubs, would be pretty close to full dress rehearsal going into round one. So we'll gradually build through that three-week phase. And
are you one of those coaches that takes a look at the practice match list and gets in the car and when it doesn't clash with your playing and go and have a look and take some notes and the like?
Yeah, if that suits, absolutely. If there's some Sunday games, I think Torquay historically have a couple on Friday night. So, I do pop around and have a little bit of Bo Peep for at least a half.
Yep. Who's come out of the pack this year in terms of training? Is there somebody that's impressed you from last year to this year? Somebody that might have been on the fringe, or somebody who, you know, maybe just needed to take their game to the next level? Somebody stood out for you on the track?
Yeah, there has been. It's certainly, we've made a focus on some areas where some guys needed to probably find 5 or 10% to really consolidate them as senior footballers. And I think you'll see a much improved Nick Swain this year as well, coming over from Bell Park 12 months ago. So his points were an issue last year, but he drops a point this year, so
Back to a two.
Last year we didn't have any 2-point players, so that really hurt us at times. So he's moving very well. In addition to obviously Zane Vale, we're without Luke Skews for the whole year. He's back after surgery, yep. So he's moving quite well. So he'll be a very good backup for us in that area as well.
Yep.
And certainly the two other recruits you touched on, Tom Stevens, hit the ground running, moving very well. Joel Donaldson's moving very well, and young Jack Rice, he's all yeah. So look, the core group are I'm satisfied with where we're at the moment, until we sort of face real opposition in the next couple of weeks.
Yep. Paul, we really appreciate your time. I know you're very busy down at Anglesey Lotto.
That's it. I haven't seen you down there buying a ticket yet, Tom. You told me you were going to win Powerball a couple of years ago. But
still trying very hard. Really appreciate you making the trek up. Best of luck for the season. Good luck. We've been talking footy for a number of years in your stints at Belmont Lions and St Albans, but crack at the Ballerine for you, and Anglesey not too far away, and not 20 years since the last flag down there as well. So I suspect there'll be a reunion this year, and those boys will hopefully want to be talking about you guys lifting the cup come September 14.
Yeah, no, thanks, Tom. And look, we are really looking forward to the year ahead, and it's an exciting time. We're, as you said, we finished third, and there's some players there with some unfinished business, and we're certainly going to give it our best shot, but very mindful of how even the competition will be. So look forward to chatting during the year.
Good luck for round one.
Thank you.
Paul Nigro joining us there, coach of Anglesey. And of course, thanks to Momentum Energy, you can get involved in local footy with local footy tipping. We've also got AFL tipping. Head to krockfootball.com.au for your share in $5,000 cash. $1,000 for our leading AFL tipster, $1,000 for our leading BFL, and $1,000 for our leading GFL. And if you nominate your club will get $1,000. So if you're an Anglesey fan, and you win the BFL side of the Momentum Energy K-Rock Footy Tipping in 2019. Not only will you get $1,000, but the Roos will get $1,000 as well. So check it out, krockfootball.com.au. This has been the Season Countdown. We've been talking with Anglesey. Next in our series will be Bannockburn.